Amen, amen, amen. All right, well, this is going to be our second installment of a series that we started last week that we decided to call You Can If You Want To. You can if you want to. So let's go ahead and have a little bit of fun here in church today. Why don't you go ahead and turn to the neighbor on your right-hand side? Well, that's not going to work, huh, if everybody turns to the right, huh? So just turn to a neighbor and say to them, you can if you want to. All right. Go ahead and turn to the neighbor on the other side and look at them and say, you can if you want to. If there's nobody sitting next to you, I don't know what to say. But you can if you want to. What we did is, and what we're going to be doing throughout these weeks, is we're going to be inserting a word after the word can. Last week we discussed that you can come if you want to, and we discovered that, hey, we have access to God's throne. We have access to the deep things of God. We have access to have an intimate relationship with Him. It's not reserved for the few, not reserved for the mighty, not reserved for the special people in the Bible, but you and I both today can come if we want to. God bids us to come, and so we can come. And so we're going to be inserting different words throughout the series and discovering some of the things that belong to us in Christ Jesus. Anybody here want to know what belongs to them now that you're a child of God? I know that I do. If we don't know what belongs to us, listen, we're going to fail to take advantage of it. And so that's kind of what this series is about. So you can if you want to. Before I tell you what the word is that we're going to insert in the title, they haven't done it yet, right? Tonight, let me go ahead and take you to Mark chapter 9, beginning with verse number 14. And we're going to read through verse number 29. Oh my gosh, Pastor Joe, isn't that like 15 verses? It is, but it's a short story and you'll be all right because it's a good story. It's going to be amazing. Amazing. All right, Mark chapter 9. Let me get there myself. Mark chapter 9, verse number 14. And this is what it says. It says, when Jesus came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, what are you discussing with them, my disciples? Then one of the crowd answered and said, teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. And he answered and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Then they brought him to Jesus, and when he saw Jesus, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. Verse number 22. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out and enter him no more. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. And he became as one dead. So many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. Tonight, I want to talk to you about that you can believe if you want to. That's the word that we're going to insert in today's installment, in today's topic. You can believe if you want to. And you know what? I find that over the course of our lives, our faith will be challenged. If you haven't come across it yet, I'm not here to be a bearer of bad news. In fact, I really think it's kind of good news to let somebody know that, hey, once you get saved and once you get touched by God, hey, there's going to be difficulties that you're going to face. Because, see, if you can let somebody know ahead of time, then they can be prepared when the difficulties arise. Isn't that right? So it's kind of like good news. In fact, Paul the Apostle says, let me arm you with this mind. You're going to face some stuff. Shift is going to happen every Friday night at 7 o'clock. Life happens. And when life happens, one of two things can happen. Either we can rise to the occasion, or we will find ourselves backing off of our faith and backing off of the things of God. And you know what? God doesn't want you and I to back off the things of God. He doesn't want us to digress in our faith. If I could quote Hebrews for just a second, he wants us to continue to believe unto the saving of our soul. Hello. And so what I want to do tonight is I want to, if you will, stir up a spirit of faith within you. Today, you may be here and you know what, you're facing some difficulties and you're facing some trials and I want to encourage you, if you feel yourself getting weary tonight, if you feel yourself backing off, if you would say to yourself today, yeah, I'm not quite where I used to be and it seems that I'm being overwhelmed. Hey, listen, you can believe in spite of the difficulty, in spite of the persecution, in spite of the trial, you can believe if you want to. You can believe God, and that's what we're talking about today. Now, I see this here in the story that this man, this father, obviously a loving father, right? Obviously, he cared. Actually, if you read some of the other gospel accounts of this story, you'll find out, in fact, this was his only son. And as we read, Jesus asked him, how long has this been going on? And he makes this statement that since he was a child. And so this thing has been going on for a long time. And I would venture to say, I would imagine that this man heard about Jesus. The Bible talks about over and over, you'll find other stories. In fact, if you're familiar at all with the woman with the issue of blood, the Bible says that when she heard of Jesus, then she came to faith and she said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made well. But it wasn't until she heard of Jesus. The Bible says that as Jesus went out and he walked and he ministered, that his fame went throughout the towns and the surrounding region. So I would imagine this man, here he is and he has this child who has a serious issue. And I would imagine that he's tried a number of things to help his son get over this issue, to get beyond this issue, and nothing has worked. And then all of a sudden, he hears about Jesus. Do you remember when you, in the midst of your trial or your difficulty, when you heard about Jesus, the hope that it birthed within you? And I would imagine the same thing happened to him. And so all of a sudden, he sets out to find Jesus. He comes to his disciples, and what happens? They can't deal with the situation. Discouragement sets in. I would imagine he started going through some thoughts such as, you know, well, maybe this is just going to be the same as every other occasion. Maybe Jesus really can't do what I've heard that people said he can do. And so he starts to back off of his faith. He starts to back off what initially got him to set out and find Jesus. Is everybody following me here today? I know it's kind of quiet. Let me lay some groundwork here before we get into it. And so he starts to back off, and by verse number 22, we find this man approaching Jesus with what I want to call tonight an anything mentality. An anything mentality. Let me read to you verse number 22 so that we can kind of all come together on what we're saying today. Verse number 22, and it says, he begins to describe to Jesus what's been happening. It says, and often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus, if you can do anything, if you can do anything, help us out. And oftentimes in our Christian lives, I find it to be true that both because of circumstances and trials and whatever it is that's gotten us to back off our faith, or maybe just because not that we don't love God, not that we're not sincere in our faith, but we just kind of get in the routine of things and we end up approaching God with what I want to call an anything mentality. And when we approach God with an anything mentality, I'm here to tell you that you're not going to get very far in the things of God. You're not going to get very far in your relationship with God because you can't approach the things of God with an anything mentality. And I'm going to explain to you in a moment exactly what I mean. Last week we said, hey, you can come if you want to. You can come to God if you want to. You can come and you can come just as you are. You're welcome. But I guess what we're saying today is now that you know that you can come if you want to, there is a way to come. And the way to come that we're talking about today is to come with a heart of faith, with the spirit of faith, with an attitude that says, hey, I believe God. I believe God's word. I'm not backing off of what God has for me. I love what Jesus says so much in Mark chapter 11. He says, hey, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Believe God. Believe God. As opposed to coming with an anything mentality. Now, what do I mean by an anything mentality? Let me see if I can give you a few examples. Sometimes we attend church, and listen, I'll be the first to raise my hand and say I'm guilty of it. I've come to church unconsciously with this attitude that, you know what, I'm going to come and see if God is going to do anything this time. I've come tonight and I'm here in Shift and this is a cool place and I know some cool people here, but I wonder if God's going to do anything in Shift tonight. I mean, because in my opinion, he really hasn't done anything the last few weeks if I really want to be honest. So I've come to see if he's going to do anything tonight. I don't know, maybe today you approach your life, you approach the day, the alarm goes off in the morning, you lift your head off the pillow, and you set off for the bathroom, which I would venture to say most of us set off to, the shower, I don't know, the kitchen for breakfast, and we approach the day kind of wondering, or kind of having this attitude, this mentality, well, I wonder if God's going to do anything special in my life today. I wonder if he's going to do anything today, and we kind of end up just going through the routine of things. What about when we have needs in our life? We kind of approach God in regards to our need with an anything mentality. I mean, God, you said you know what I have need of even before I ask. You know what's going on. So God, are you going to do anything about my situation? Anything mentality. You know, there's even people and without getting too far off the subject here, there's even people who have approached the baptism of the Holy Spirit with this attitude. And I've heard people say, if God wants me to have the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, well, then I'll have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But if he doesn't want me to, then I won't have it. That's a anything mentality. Listen, I don't want you to approach God that way because you can't get very far with an anything mentality. When we approach the things of God with an anything mentality, what actually happens is we end up sitting by, waiting to see if something happens. And you know then what happens after that? We just end up taking into our lives anything that comes our way. And then we come to the conclusion, this must be God's will for my life. I know maybe tonight I'm not preaching like I usually do, getting all crazy, acting a fool like I usually do. Wait a second, it's coming out again. But sometimes we need to take some time and explain some things. When I approach God with an anything mentality, I end up sitting by, waiting for something to happen, and ultimately taking into my life anything that comes my way, and then I call it God's will. I show up to church service, well, let me see if God wants to do anything tonight. And then when he doesn't, or at least in our opinion, he doesn't, even though he does, we think to ourselves, well, God didn't really want to do anything this night. All of a sudden we approach the day with this attitude and I wonder if God's going to do anything special in my life today. And when he doesn't, well, maybe God, I guess God didn't want to do anything out of the ordinary today. I got these needs in my life. Let me see if God's going to meet my needs, if he's going to do anything. And then when he doesn't, well, I just accept that. And I conclude that that's God's will for my life. He doesn't want to meet my need. Let me attend church today, and I heard that they're having a baptism of the Holy Spirit thing. Let me see if something happens and I end up being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Let me see, and then nothing happens. Well, I guess I'm not one of the frozen chosen. I don't know. And we conclude that that's God's will for our life. But God doesn't want you to approach him this way. See, God can only go as far with you as you are willing to believe. And what God is looking for, as we've been hearing lately at church, is God is looking for bold people who believe God. And who approach, you know, service, and you know what? They come expecting. And they come excited. They come saying to themselves, you know what? I'm coming to church tonight, and I'm going to meet up with Jesus, and I'm going to walk away different than when I came in. I'm going to walk away with something that I didn't have before. And when you come like that, you'll never leave empty-handed. They approach the day, and they wake up in the morning, and they say, ooh, today is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice, and I'm going to be glad in it. And you know what? My God is a good God. And all of a sudden, right there in that moment, you begin to taste and see that the Lord is good. And then all of a sudden, your day completely takes on a whole new shape. God's doing things in your life because you came in faith. You came with not with an anything mentality, but you came with an attitude of faith that says, "Hey, you know what? This is what God has said. I'm gonna go. I'm gonna have my part in that. My needs. You know what? I got a need." But my Bible says that God will supply all of my need according to his riches and his glory. My need is therefore met in Jesus' name. Oh, and about that Holy Spirit thing, last time I checked in Acts, the Bible said that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the promise of the Father. You can have it if you want. You can believe if you want to today. And we can leave behind today an anything mentality. I want to let me point this out to you one more time here in verse number 22. Let's read verse number 22 and verse number 23. All right, it says, and often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And watch what happens here. He says, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And let's read verse number 24 as well. It says, immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. I really believe that this man almost missed out on what God had for him. And listen, it was a serious difficulty that he was facing. And anybody would be discouraged if you came to, I mean, the people closest to Jesus, and they're not able to do anything about your situation. All of us would be discouraged. All of us would have questions. All of us doubt would begin to set in. But this man, and so because of that, he almost misses out on what Jesus has, and he says, God, if you can do anything. Now I want to read this to you, these two verses, 22 and 23, out of the NLT. Because I really like how it puts it. It says, the Spirit often throws him into the fire or into the water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can. If you can. I like how Jesus responds, what do you mean if I can? That's Jesus. Now, the good news in this is that while he initially approached Jesus with an anything mentality, he's coming to Jesus nonetheless. And Jesus knows how to meet you right where you're at. And so Jesus knew how to get him out of his doubt and his anything mentality and move him over into faith. And so Jesus makes a statement to him. What do you mean, if I can? If you can! ... Or I've been told that's incorrect. Hyphen, dash, whatever it is. Awkward silence. If you can, awkward silence, believe. What do you mean, if I can? If you can believe, all things are possible to him. Anything is possible if a person believes. See, it's not a matter of whether or not Jesus can. It's not even a matter or not of whether or not Jesus wants to. This whole thing is just a matter or not. It's just whether or not you will believe. So I guess the question before we get into our points tonight for the young adults is this: do you believe tonight? Do the young adults of the Rock Church here on a Friday night, do I have some believers in the house? And are you one today who said, I believe God? And let me go a little bit further and ask you, what do you believe tonight? Amen. What do you believe tonight? Jesus, Holy Spirit, I like it. What do you believe tonight? Amen. Listen, tonight, I believe that by his stripes I am healed. Tonight I believe that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Tonight I believe that he will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. Tonight I believe that I'm more than a conqueror in Christ. Tonight I believe that greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. Tonight I believe that the Holy Spirit is with me and in me, and he'll never leave me and he'll never forsake me. Therefore I can boldly say, what can man do unto me? The Lord is my helper. Do you believe tonight? Do you believe tonight? Because That's what we're after. See, an anything mentality will get you, again, to sit by and wait and see if something happens. But an attitude of faith will compel you to action. And anything, let me say it again, an anything mentality will get you to sit by and wait and see if something happens. An attitude of faith will compel you, will push on you, will kick you a little bit into action. And when you start acting on your faith, that's when God starts acting on his word. When you start acting on your faith, that's when God starts acting on his word. And so this man in verse number 24 gets into faith, and he says, immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I do believe. I recognize the doubt that and the discouragement and the frustration that has come into my heart. Help me. And this boy was healed. So today, do you believe? I'm here to tell you, you can believe if you want to, despite what's happened, all right? Nothing will be impossible to you who believe. And we want to stir up a spirit of faith within your heart. So today, let's approach our points this way. You can believe if you want to, number one, because God is the God of the impossible. You can believe tonight if you want to. You can believe God. Believe what, Pastor Joe? We're not talking about just believing any old thing. You know, when you wish upon a star. No, we're not talking about just believing any old thing, okay? We're talking about believing God, okay? But you can believe God. You can believe if you want to. Number one today, because God is the God of the impossible. You know, when men say it can't be done, God says it can be done. In your life, in your situation, in anything, you ever come across somebody who says it can't be done, I'm here to tell you today, God says it can be done, because with what is impossible with men is possible with God. When people would come and say it's impossible, God says it's possible. When people would come and say it doesn't add up, God says, I'll make it add up. I'm so thankful that when we come to church, our senior pastor has taught us for years, 2 + 2 is whatever God says it's going to be. Amen. And you know what? You need to have that kind of a heart within you, because things are not going to always add up in life. But I'm here to tell you today that God will make it add up if you'll just believe God. Listen today. When people say, or when your mind says, or when the devil would say it's over, God says it ain't over till I say it's over. Awkward silence. And it ain't over. Did you catch that? When people say it's over, in fact, there's even been times in my own life I've called parts of my life over. There's no coming back from this. You can't, like we sang tonight, there's too many pieces, there's too much trouble, I'm gonna have to deal with this the rest of my life. When even you would say that your situation is over, God says, it's not over till I say it over. And just in case you don't understand what I'm trying to tell you today, it ain't over. So go ahead and believe God if you want to. You can believe God if you want to, because he's the God of the impossible. And it doesn't matter where you've been, doesn't matter what you've done, doesn't matter what experience that you've had. Today, you can believe God if you want to. He's able to seek and to save to the uttermost. You can believe God if you want to, because he's the God of the impossible. In Jeremiah chapter 32, verse number 17, we find Jeremiah begin to pray to God, and he goes, "Ah, Lord God." Look at your neighbor and go, ah. Get a little southern gospel in your throat. Ah. Ah. I think you know what, if you're gonna be a person of faith, you're gonna have to get a little ah in your heart from time to time. You're gonna have to learn how to stir yourself up like the Bible says King David did, and in the midst of your trial, in the midst of your difficulty, in the midst of your stuff, you're just gonna have to say, ah, ah, Lord God. Ah, Lord God. We're having a little bit too much fun with this. He says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you." I was in the middle of his, you know, Jeremiah had one of the worst ministry jobs a person could have. All he did was talk doom and gloom to a rebellious nation who never repented. It didn't matter what happened. God literally, it's like God threatened them so many times. Like I can't think of a specific thing that he said, but it's almost kind of like God got in their face and said, "Listen, I'm gonna just zap you right now with lightning over and over and over again if you don't stop it." And they didn't stop it. And they accused Jeremiah and they threw him in jail and they did all these terrible things and I would imagine Jeremiah was frustrated. In fact, one time in the book of Jeremiah, he says, "I'm not gonna say anything else, God." And then he says, "But I can't help it. Your word is a fire in my bones, and I try to hold it back, but I couldn't." I imagine frustration with people, and that wasn't a happy ministry. And in the middle of this, he had to say, "Ah, Lord God, there's nothing too hard for you." So today, you can believe God because if you want to, because God is the God of the impossible. Number two today, you can believe God if you want to, because God's word can be trusted. God's word can be trusted. You can believe God if you want to because God's word can be trusted. The Bible says in Revelations that when Jesus returns, his name is called Faithful and True. He can be trusted and so can his word. He didn't get that name by accident. He got that name because that's who he is, Faithful and True. You can believe God because you can trust. You can believe God if you want to because you can trust. Because God's word can be trusted. I love what Brother Hagin said of Brother Hagin that he would write in all of his Bibles in the very front. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. In the front of every Bible. Maybe I'm exaggerating. I don't know if it's every Bible, but he would write in his Bible. His son did the same thing. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Because God can be trusted. He is faithful and he is true. The Bible tells us that he will not alter the word that comes out of his mouth. He will not change his covenant. He's not a man that he should lie or the son of man that he should repent. He's not somebody to speak something and lie about it. Nor is he somebody to speak something and realize later, "Oh, I was wrong. I'm sorry." Anybody ever had somebody do that to you? "I know this is what I told you, but..." That will never be God. He will not alter the word that comes out of his mouth. He will not change his covenant. He will not lie. And later on in life, he will not be found to be wrong and have to repent for it. God's word can be trusted. In fact, God even says, "I've exalted my word even above my name." We need some more people of God who would do the same and swear to their own hurt. That's what God is saying there. "I've exalted my word above my name, and if I say something, I'm swearing to my own hurt. So even if it comes down the line a little bit later and it hurts me, I'm gonna follow through with what I said anyway." And don't you know that's true? How many times did he promise in the Old Testament to send a Savior? He would be Christ the Lord. And when it really came down to it, you know that was a bloody cross, a gory cross, an ugly cross. And God didn't say, "You know what? I think I need to take this back. I can't handle this." No, no, no. God's word can be trusted. Jesus says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away." God's word is more sure than the ground that you're walking on. Hello? I tell you sometimes, I wish I could record some of your faces. If you ever talk to people and they look at you like this, you're going to quit. And I told them, because I quit all the time. God, I quit. God says, "I don't care how much you quit, as long as you show up to work the next day." So quit all you like. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm being dramatic, okay? I'm being dramatic. I'm just kidding. I don't really quit all the time. All right. You can believe God if you want to, because God's word can be trusted. Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. What has God spoken to you? What has God made real in his word to your heart? Because he just said right here that it will go forth and it will not return void. It will accomplish what he pleases and it will prosper. I just get this picture of this plant just growing out, just growing out of control, this thing growing out of control. It will prosper in the thing that I sent it to, for which I sent it. So you can believe God today, because if you want to, because God's word can be trusted. And finally, number three is this. You can believe God, you can believe if you want to, because God's word has what it takes to bring you to believe. I know that's kind of long, but I believe that there's some powerful truth in this statement. You can believe if you want to, because God's word has what it takes to bring you to believe. If you find yourself today like the man in, what was it, Mark chapter 9? Yeah. If you find yourself like the man in Mark chapter 9, and there's been some things that have happened in your life. Listen, everybody finds difficulty. Everybody, listen, all of us have had doubt set in. All of us. I remember after I went to a 2-year Bible college in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and after my first year was over, I went through the summer, and as the second year began to start, I started having all these doubts. I don't know where they were coming from. Probably the devil, that's where they were coming from. All these questions like, is God really real? What? You're in second year of Bible college. You grew up in church. What do you mean, is God really real? All of us face challenges and things that would oppose our faith. You know, I didn't mention it either earlier. I meant to, but the Bible says that the devil told Jesus that he wanted to sift Peter's faith like wheat. He wanted to beat him up from pillar to post in hopes that Peter would give up his faith. So this is in the Bible. The things will arise to challenge your faith and to get you to back off, but listen today, you can believe God if you want to, because God's word has what it takes to bring you to believe. This is what I'm trying to say. The antidote to your unbelief, the antidote to your doubt, the antidote to your fear, the fix, the cure for your backing off, listen today, is God's word. You need to get around God's word. You need to break it open and read it for yourself. Don't just read it in church. Just don't bring your Bible to church, and that's the only time that you have a relationship with God's word. You need to break it open at home. You need to find yourself a tabernacle of meeting outside the camp. In other words, get away from the Facebook, get away from the Xbox, get away from the friends, tell the girlfriend to stop calling you. You need some time to go in your room and get in your closet. If you got to get in the closet, if you got to go in the attic to get away and get with God's word and let him fill you and let him charge you and renew you and refresh you and bring you into faith. Because see, that's exactly what God can do. The antidote for doubt, the antidote for is to get around God's word. Romans chapter 10, verse number 17, it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you don't feel like you have any faith today, if you feel like you got all the faith in the world, or if you feel like you got no faith, or you're somewhere in between, just get around God's word, and guess what will happen? Your faith will increase. If you feel like you got all the faith in the world, all of a sudden you realize, hey, I don't believe everything like I should. I just realized something new. And you're going to go from one faith to the next faith, like the Bible says, from one glory to the next glory. If you get around God's word. If you get around God's word. If you will, as we, because I'm done talking tonight. Is the band here? Do we have band members? Are they able to? Do we have? Because I would like you to sing the chorus of that last song. I know it's a new song, but I thought it was a powerful song. About, oh, how I see. Now I can see you. I can see your love. I love the verses of that, all these pieces. By your mercy, you have mended. That was the first time I heard the song, so I'm really struggling here with the words. But I thought that was a... I thought that was a powerful song. And today, if you feel like your faith has been shattered or it's in pieces, or I want to give you an opportunity to come to the altar and just to sing the song as best as you can. If you don't want to sing, you don't have to sing. Just let God minister to you and just let him encourage your faith tonight. You know, I know we say, you know, you can't approach God with an anything mentality. And the other side of that is this, that the Bible says that God is unwilling to put out a smoking flax.